Good morning.
You're just in time.
Welcome to the St. Gabriel Cafe, your sacred space to sip on today's local blend of faithful encouragement.
Let's start our day together.
Good morning. Come on in, pull up a chair. I'm Dave Orsborn.
And friends, I'm Amanda Miller, and we welcome you into the St. Gabriel Cafe, our live and local morning show.
Hey there, Cam.
Howdy.
You're our barista.
That's me.
Today we celebrate the solemnity, some would say a feast, of St. Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And to help us celebrate St. Joseph, our friends Jody and Dan Boyden will join us here in the cafe. But first, in just a few minutes, Dr. Marlon Della Torre will be with us as we continue our deep dive into the Apostles' Creed.
I'm so excited that it's St. Joseph.
Yeah.
Dave,
we're going to have fun today.
Yes, we will. Will you start us in a prayer?
Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Father. We love you. We praise, adore, and glorify you. Thanks for this day. Thank you for bringing us all together. The blessings of a new day. Help us to glorify and praise you today and every day. Thank you today, especially for St. Joseph. Such a great saint and a model for what you're calling us to be, especially as husbands and fathers. So help us to turn to St. Joseph today, and of course to his beautiful wife, our Blessed Mother, that together they can bring us closer to your Son, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit. Morning.
Good morning.
How's it going today?
I'm good. How are you?
So good. I've been excited for today for so long. We've been talking about, Mr. Boyden set this up months ago. He's like, I'll be back on the feast day of St. Joseph. And here it is.
Mm-hmm. So we've been waiting.
Yeah. Good evening last night. Yeah. Were you out when the snow squalls came through?
No, I saw it from my window and I was glad to be inside. Were you?
Yeah, I was heading over to pick up Carol from work because we have yet one more car situation. And yeah, it was nuts. Mm. Visibility way down. Just crazy, I tell you.
I was also inside. Mm. Olive loved it from the window. She was just staring at it as it fell from the sky and awe and wonder, so.
I love that. Kids just help you see things in new ways because everything is new for them.
Kids help you see snow in March and not be like upset at snow in March. Right?
Enough already. How does Olive get excited? Does she jump up and down and
she
squeal?
She does this thing where she, and I'm not sure where she learned this from, because I think you would have to learn this, but she just breathes, like hyperventilates when she gets excited with a big smile. She's like, you know, and that's like one of her biggest things that she does when she gets excited. Now that she's like walking a little bit, she tends to trip over herself when she gets excited too, which is just kind of funny to watch, because then there's like a flash of disappointment because she's like, ah, man, I fell over, even though I'm excited about this thing. Yeah, and then she'll babble and stuff too, but
fun. She has a birthday coming up.
She does. Last year it was the Easter Vigil. This year it is Divine Mercy Monday and the day of the solar eclipse this year.
Wow.
Fun fact. So I don't know what the Lord
that'll
is
freak
doing.
Her out.
Yeah, I don't know what the Lord is doing with my daughter, but Easter Vigil last year, she was baptized on Pentecost. Hmm. This year her birthday is the solar eclipse, and so I expect big things.
Amen. Cam, would you like to read today's gospel?
Yeah, today's gospel comes from Matthew chapter 1, and it's all over the place after that. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks, Cam. What stood out for you, brother?
I think the first thing that stood out to me is, and at surface level, I think a lot of people have mentioned this in the past, that Joseph doesn't respond verbally, but there still is a response. His response is in his actions, and what it makes me think of, I think what stands out to me is that kind of inspiring. I don't think his response is one of fear at all, of like, because when an angel appears to you in your dream, that's probably pretty terrifying, I imagine. but he doesn't give that kind of, you know, vibe, as the kids say, so to speak, right?
You're rubbing off on all of us, Dave.
But actually, like, I think Joseph, at least the image of Joseph that I have in my head, I think more than anything, when he wakes up from that dream, he's got to be excited. I imagine his love for Mary is just so much, and it was just this, like, wrestling with, I don't know what to do. She's pregnant with this baby, and it wasn't me. And then the angel appears and is like, "Do not be afraid." And I think just in those moments, I think that's like, I can hear even still, you know, 2000 years later, Joseph's like exhale of relief of like, ah, yes, exciting. You know, I get to be with my betrothed. I get to be with my beloved. And then he immediately responds. I imagine he, you know, gets out of bed and just gets to work right away.
Mm-hmm. Cam, thank you so much for your insight, because I feel like I was also thinking about the same part of the passage, but I don't think I ever took the opportunity to just really think about just how often do we struggle in prayer, and we're like really grappling with something, and then finally we feel like we have direction or an answer, and there's just that like sigh of relief and that desire to just like, ah, okay, this is the way we're going. Thank you, Lord. So that was really beautiful insight. I think the first thing actually I was kind of struck by is just that how much Joseph trusted the way in which the Lord was speaking to him. Because I don't think we hear much about the Lord speaking to us in a dream. And yet that's actually all over the Bible. So I was just kind of struck by, oh, am I even open to that form of maybe the way that the Lord wants to speak to me? And then also kind of like what Cam was sharing, this idea of, as soon as I hear the Lord speak, do I act? As soon as I hear his word, am I obedient? Am I excited to enact whatever he has before me, whatever direction he's given me, without hesitation?
Mm. Yeah, Joseph was really good about listening and then acting, right? I mean, that's what we see in each scene with Joseph. The Lord speaks to him, or God speaks to him, and then he acts. There's that immediate obedience. But, you know, Joseph being steeped in scripture would have realized, as the angel was speaking to him, that the prophecy from Isaiah 7 was being fulfilled. So Isaiah 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And the course of his life, you know, was set. And he listened, and then he acted.
I just, come on. Like, your whole, like, all your people through generations have been waiting for this moment. And then suddenly it's like, she is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Like, what?
What?
What joy.
Do you ever think he was scared to go asleep at night?
Well, you know, actually, if I had an experience like that where I just had such direction from the Lord, I'd be like, okay, it's time for bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
Nap time, right? God bless him. Good Saint Joseph. Pray for us. Joining us now by phone is our Tuesday morning always friend, Dr. Marlon Delatorre. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, David, Amanda. How are you both?
Good morning.
Blessed. Happy feast day.
Happy feast day. It's a great feast day to St. Joseph.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful day. A day of great praise, of adoration to our Lord, for thanking him for bringing us St. Joseph, the foster father in faith, and really a break from our own sacrifice, too, to boot.
Yeah, that's right. We ought to feast.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, where we're going in today's creed maybe is not as upbeat as maybe our celebration of St. Joseph, but ultimately it is, because we know it leads to the resurrection. And so last Tuesday, we were actually describing the creed as this beautiful montage or panorama that the Lord gives us, this picture of his love. And so today we're going to dive into the next part of the creed, where he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and then descended into hell. So, Dr. Marlin, wherever you'd like to start there.
There's evidence of joy in suffering. And this is something that really for a lot of people may not resonate well, or they may see it as an anomaly or a contradiction in terms. But when you look at what the whole path of crucifixion entails for our Lord and what he did, he was the perfect embodiment of both what it means to be human and what it means to have a relationship with God the Father, because he is God. And so in the sacrifice of his death on the cross, and if we look at the whole premise of why God made man and why God became man through the Son, that there had to be something that would somehow continue to either reawaken us or continue to help us understand how God imminently loves us, infinitely loves us, and continues to love us even prior to the Son of God, during his lifetime, and after the resurrection. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, then you can see that there's something very holy and good and loving about the whole crucifixion. It means that God literally offered himself through his Son so that we cannot lose sight of who he is. And so when you look at it from that perspective, Amanda, it is a joy. There's a joy in suffering, because the suffering was meant to bring salvation. And so when you look at this aspect of the creed, it is literally about a salvific reality that it doesn't matter how bad we can be, it doesn't matter how deep we can go into our own sin, his love is greater. The salvation that he gave us through his Son is greater than anything that we can engage against him. And that, to me, is reassuring and refreshing. Doesn't mean I abuse the gift. It just means, okay, Lord, you've given me an opportunity to love you more. And the entire Paschal mystery, this crucifixion event, the horrible, actually is renewable. It helps us to understand you more clearly. So I think there's some great wisdom to look at the creed from that perspective, because it is in line with what our church has prescribed for centuries.
Dr. Marlon Delatorre here in the cafe with us this morning. We're looking at the section of the creed: suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Doctor, can you open up the phrase, he descended into hell, and what's the significance there?
Absolutely. So when all the great prophets of the Old Testament spoke well of God, and they were conditioned and deemed to speak well of God, when you look at Isaiah, when you look at Jeremiah, for example, and once their time had passed, they had to wait for the coming of the Savior, and they knew this. They knew that their eternal rest and their eternal glory would not come until the coming of the Messiah. And so we understand that to be that there's a state of the dead or a realm of the dead where we await for our Lord, Jesus Christ. And so Christ being God, being Messiah, upon his death, all right, he descended into the realm of the dead. He descended into the realm of those who have been waiting for him to come, converse with him, be with him, and be lifted up with him, not just at the resurrection, but the ascension, all right, to culminate the entire event of the life of Christ himself on earth, but also the progression of this in heaven. And so when you look at the realm of the dead, he crucified to bring those who had prepared the path, the way for him, to come with him. Now, this is key because when you look at St. John the Baptist, he makes the proclamation, prepare the way of the Lord. And so St. John the Baptist knew this. He knew that there was something significant here and that Christ would literally resurrect those who had been prepared in a dormant sleep, so to speak. And this is significant about looking at his crucifixion, died, and why we have also the transfiguration when he's conversing, all right, with Elijah, when he's conversing with Moses, he's conversing with these elements of these beautiful people that have been waiting for him. And so this is part of the realm of the dead, meaning he goes into the depths of a stage in life where everyone is waiting for him. Those who have who are preceding him now can see him. And this is glory. This is also part of what we would elaborate regarding the beatific vision, that they see him now. They understand. And so this it really is it's a powerful way of looking at the entire progression of why he died, why he goes into the realm of the dead, and the significance of that for all of us.
At that point, is he glorified then?
There's a progression to the glorification. So in other words, upon his death, all right, so he's conversing with all the prophets and all the holy men and women who preceded him. So we wait until the resurrection, all right, and that happens. So you can't put time on this. So almost instantaneous, so to speak.
Right.
And so you see this whole progression happening at once. And so the time frame from the resurrection to the ascension is more significant because we see him conversing, all right, at the road to Emmaus, for example. We see him breaking bread with the apostles and then disappearing. So you see these acts of faith from our Lord. So, and that's post, i.e. resurrection, meaning that at that point of death, he is seeing everyone instantaneously.
Hmm.
And then he rises from the dead. And then from there, we see his post-resurrection body conversing with the apostles, with the disciples. And then now they're prepared to see him ascend fully. And so this whole beautiful interplay, when you look at the Paschal event of what's happening, it's hard to really place it in terms of human time, because he's above that. He's beyond that. He is no time. He is time itself. So this becomes really part of this journey, Dave, of happening instantaneously, and then from there his walk on earth, again, post-resurrection, and then from there we see his ascension into heaven.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Marlon Della Torre with us here in the cafe. We're going through the creed. So next Tuesday, will you be able to be with us during Holy Week?
I should be, yeah. I think I'll be available Tuesday morning. I should be.
Awesome. Well, make sure it's in pen on your calendar, Doctor.
Absolutely.
We'll get into that section on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. A bit of a spoiler.
That's all right.
How are you celebrating today?
You know, we're just typically with the St. Joseph's table, the family's going to be split between a couple of masses. I'll be at St. Joseph's Cathedral with the bishop, and so we'll have a little celebration afterwards, and then our family will have a little mini feast this evening, and it's typically a little family tradition, just in honor of St. Joseph.
Outstanding. Dr. Marlon Della Torre, thanks for being with us this morning.
Appreciate it. God bless you both. Happy Feast
God,
Day.
God bless
Happy
you.
Feast.
Happy Feast. Coming up next, we have the Boydens. Jody and Dan will be with us to celebrate St. Joseph. Stay with us.
Thank you. Monday, March 25th is a special day for St. Gabriel Radio and our local faith community. It's not only the Monday of Holy Week, it is also a day where you can hear Bishop Fernandez as he discusses the faith with our local Catholic high school students. You don't want to miss this enriching experience. The St. Gabriel Radio High School Student Forum with Bishop Fernandez will air on Monday, March 25th at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. Be sure to tune in.
Do you have a minute for lasting happiness? Living virtuously is the way to freedom, happiness, and holiness. To grow in virtue, we must learn about it, practice it, and persevere in it. This is what the saints have achieved with excellence. An excellent example of the virtue of affability is seen in Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Pier Giorgio lived affability heroically by acting cheerfully and without complaint when life was difficult. He was friendly and outgoing to everyone, especially the sick and the poor, whom he served with works of mercy. His genuine smile shared God's love with others. He was joyful, even as he was dying at the early age of 24. Let us ask Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati to pray for us, that we too may grow in affability. Educate yourself in virtue. Learn more at educationinvirtue.com.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Words from the saints teach and inspire us. One of my favorite saints is Saint Joseph, who does not have any recorded words in Scripture. That is precisely what makes him special. In him, we see a man serving God and his neighbor with quiet, holy action. We see him caring for Mary and Jesus and living out the virtue of obedience to God and to the mores of their time. Saint Pope John Paul II said, Saint Joseph was a just man, a tireless worker, the upright guardian of those entrusted to his care. May he always guard, protect, and enlighten families. May we emulate Saint Joseph's heroic obedience to God, his strength in caring for his family, and give thanks for his unique role in the salvation of mankind. Let us pray. Father God, open our eyes to the beautiful virtue of obedience as modeled by Saint Joseph. Grant that we too are obedient to you in our vocation. Amen.
Welcome back, friends, to the St. Gabriel Cafe. I'm Amanda Miller.
I'm Dave Orsborn, and Jody and Dan Boyden are with us here in the cafe. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Thanks for Dan being back here in the cafe once again. Jody, your first time in the cafe.
Yes.
Yay.
Thanks for being here.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we want to celebrate St. Joseph, and I think a really nice way to do that is by talking about your relationship, your marriage and family, and how centered on St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother that journey has been. So when did you guys meet?
First grade.
Wait, really?
Yeah, first grade. Long, beautiful, blonde locks, big bow in her hair, probably a couple desks ahead, or that's why I struggled throughout 12 years of school. I had to deal with her. I always was watching her. First grade. We went to school together.
Yes, we did.
So he's remembering that correctly.
Yes, looked, okay. It is. We went to school all together. Yep.
Did you remember young Mr. Boyden in first grade?
A little bit. A little bit, yes. Ornery.
Not much to remember,
yeah.
Probably.
No.
Because he was sitting behind you.
Right.
You weren't
right,
as distracted.
Because he was looking at my bow.
Yeah.
That's right.
And where was this? Was this in Lancaster?
Yes.
Yeah, St. Mary.
St. Mary, uh-huh. Lancaster.
Okay.
And then on to Fisher Catholic, and yeah.
So yeah. When did you actually start dating?
Probably high school.
Okay.
Yeah, sophomore year, I'd say. I mean, if you want to call that dating.
Right.
It was
right.
Riding a bike, well, you know, before driver's license, because I was riding or running to your house a lot.
Yes.
But, I mean, did you really notice him? I mean, was it young love at that point or just something to do on a Saturday night?
I think both.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Yes. For
yeah.
Sure.
What did you see in me?
See, this is also cafe counseling.
So.
We always need of that. Yeah. So you know, just beautiful. I'd say beautiful young love. I remember my mom being like, you know, because I was so fixed on Jody, still am, but there's other fish in the sea, Dan. You know, you should look around. I'm like, I don't think that's great. No, sorry, Mom, if you're listening. I don't think it's the best advice, you know, to be, it's good to be looking around or whatever, but once you start dating, you should have something in mind. And mm-hmm. we weren't thinking that way back then. God, you know, a few years into our marriage really came blasting through the door gently to help get our marriage focused on him. And that wasn't the way it was in the beginning, in the courtship and the dating and all the premarital stuff. He really didn't burst into our lives till 4 or 5 years into marriage, I think. So mm-hmm. it was great. Good. Yeah. A lot of,
we had our moments,
a lot of pictures, all the together. Dances, the proms, yes. the Valentine dances.
I was taller than you.
You were taller, yeah. and then I was taller. And great memories.
How old were you when you got married?
23.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
23. Yep.
Okay. And how many children do you have?
We have 10.
Okay.
10 children, yes.
How quickly did the kids come?
We had Isabella, our first, when we were 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2001.
Yeah. And you said God broke in into the marriage.
Yeah, kind of broke into my life. And broke into my life and really, I think, in a beautiful way to help me understand what I'm made for and who I'm made for. And we both weren't maybe necessarily on the same page at that point, but that would be just fine for the Lord, because she so beautifully just allows me to lead. It's a silent and beautiful yes to all the, I mean, lots of different craziness, real zeal sometimes. And then brokenness, you know, you see brokenness from me and I'm like on fire, let's say, with the Holy Spirit, and everything's like, you know, God is so good. And then you see this, you know, the next day you might see this guy and it's like, how can that be real when this guy's actually a real pain in the rear end and, you know, a sinner. But she has so beautifully accepted the good and the bad. And I think, trust me, that the Lord is at the center of my life and has allowed, she's just allowed that into the home so beautifully. So so that, and that happened probably, I don't know, right when I was around 27, 28. And then from there on, it's not like it's been perfect, of course, but yeah, she's just allowed all the stuff, all the goodness for the children and the prayer and just everything. She's just, yes, of course. Yes.
Jody and Dan Boyden here in the cafe with us. So in terms of the silence of St. Joseph, Jody, you're the quiet one.
I am the quiet one.
This is your time.
No, I'll be nice.
No, you can't be
go
nice.
For it. This is a show for the ages.
Let me set you up. I'll tee you up because she did this. We talked about this. She goes, I think I have some funny things to say on the radio. And I'm like, honey, we're standing in our closet, right? And I said, well, you know, as long as you're not like completely throwing me under the bus, with my shortcomings and stuff, which it's probably fine. Most people know them. And she was, yeah, I won't say it. I'm like, well, okay, fine. You won't say it, but you have to tell me what it was that you were going to say.
I can't remember right now what it was. And I think it was like, about you being silent.
Yeah. She goes, well, you know, St. Joseph never said a word.
Yeah. He just did.
And then I'm like, oh no, Jody, that's great. You got it. You can actually do that because everybody does that to me. So
no, it's all good. It's good.
Where were your devotions then in the early days of, what was the faith like in the early days of your marriage then? Mass and, did you have a devotion at that point to the Blessed Mother?
I feel like we did not. I feel like we kind of, in our early years, just kind of going through the motions, you know, you're first married, just out of college.
Probably kicked off when we got Bella
when
baptized.
We had Isabella. Yeah, that kind of like hit home, like, okay, like we, yeah, let's mm-hmm. do this. And then you're kind of your little conversion or whatever you had with your brother and just all the questions and
yeah, a lot of apologetics and yeah.
Who modeled the faith for the two of you?
My parents modeled the faith for me, beautifully, I think. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And I think your family was certainly faithful, the Catholic yeah. family, but our family was probably a little, you know, next level crazy stuff, going to the Marian rallies and, you know, going to a football field with a bunch of people sitting in the stands praying the rosary. And, you know, we were, of course, underneath the bleachers screwing off and probably playing football. but, you know, just we were a little next level Catholic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never experienced that growing up. I mean, we just went to Mass on Sunday and then I would be over at his house.
And we'd pray
in the
nightly
evening,
prayer.
Pray nightly prayer, and that made me so nervous. And
we laughed the entire time, and again, messed around. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the first experience, yeah, to do that with your family.
And now we're doing that with our family.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Where did St. Joseph come into the marriage?
You know, I was thinking about on the way up here, I'm like, when did that happen? Like, why are you so, like, what happened?
I don't know. I
wish you could see their faces.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pray that.
Because I feel like it wasn't that long ago.
Well, I'm going to have to just pray that the Lord reveals that to me in a dream and I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Because the whole dream thing with St. Joseph is sweet. but yeah, I don't know. It was before the consecration came out, probably a couple years. I know when it was. I don't know why it was.
Mm.
You know what? And this is pretty awesome. I have this book on the life of St. Joseph, and it was written by a mystic. And I found it in church. It was just sitting there on the, I almost said bleacher, in the pew. And so I took it, and this lady at our church named Claire Smith, awesome lady. It's like, I'll give that back to her. And I saw her in the alley after Mass, and I said, Claire, I've got your book, and it's this beautiful book. And she said, yeah, you read it before you give it back to me.
Mm.
Now, it's a pretty heavy read. It's pretty thick. I'm not a reader. I can read. I just don't like to read. Mm-hmm. I like to watch a movie. It's easier. So the book sat for a while, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, I don't know, before I actually picked it up. And then I picked it up, and that book changed my life. And my devotion to St. Joseph. And it was it's a mystic. It's literally the life of St. Joseph from his conception to his death. So how he was as an infant, all these things. And it's like somebody either like, why would anyone make this up? I mean, it's so detailed and beautiful. And I've bought many copies of the book now and given them to different lovers of St. Joseph, but it was a game changer. And then when Father Calloway came out with the consecration, I was really worried that my whole perception of St. Joseph, or there would be contradictions in the mm-hmm. consecration and stuff. And there was none. Everything was just enhanced. And there's way more in that book, obviously, on the details of his life. And again, it's private revelation. So mm-hmm. nothing is factual. I do talk sometimes like it is factual. So I have to be careful. I don't say anything heretical around here.
Yeah, please don't.
Well, in that journey as you're walking with St. Joseph, what about that time with him really struck you and just made you dive deeper into devotion with him?
I remember praying the consecration. I'll try to say this without crying. There's a part in the consecration. In the consecration, there's a lot of little excerpts from the lives of saints. And you know, they're just two sentences, and then they have the saint's name underneath it, Blessed Bartolo Longo, or, you know, Catherine Emmerich, or just, there's just all these, lots of little ones. Well, you get into this one on the young St. Joseph, right? And you forget that you're actually reading an excerpt, because this is like 2.5 pages that somebody wrote, and it becomes very poetic, and it's some of the most beautiful poetry you've ever heard. And then at the end of it, you realize that it's Bishop Sheen. I have chills all over my arms just talking about this. And I literally, if I had it in front of me, I start reading it, I would weep right here in front of everybody, because I couldn't get through it. And Jody and I were sitting in our room and praying the consecration together, and it describes Joseph's love for her, for Mary. And I just was like, ah. And I got up and I went over, I got on my knees in front of her, and I was just like, I want to love you like this. Like, and that's really hard to do, because it's a perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there and cried my eyes out, because this love is so immense, and it's far less than God's love, which we cannot even fathom. But Oh, so many moments like that. And again, yeah, like I said last night when we talked, when we prayed, I just, son of Jacob, spouse of the virgin, I can't even barely speak, and I just start crying my eyes out, because like in that we find our identity as men, and we live in a world where men just aren't that important, or we don't know. And you look at this Blessed Mother, who is so, so important, queen of heaven and earth, queen of the angels, and Saint Joseph, because he didn't say a word, you know, maybe he wasn't that important, but that's just so wrong. He is the most of everything in this litany that we have in front of us. He's the most of everything. And he shares that with Our Lady. It doesn't make sense scientifically. One thing is the most. And that's a singular. But they both share so many of the, they share all the attributes. And really what separates them is just their gender, right? And that he's the husband and she's the wife, but everything flows from that. That's his greatest title, son, and then, you know, spouse of. Mm. And that's where everything flows from that. The Lord even flows from that union. It could go on and on and on for so long about it, but it's so
beautiful. I guess you better step it up then.
True. Yep. Thank you.
Jody and Dan Boyden here in the cafe with us. The Litany of St. Joseph is what Dan was referring to, and it is just a beautiful, beautiful prayer, and we do have copies of it here, and folks, take time today to pray this, but really, each line, don't rush through it, because each line is just so beautiful. As Dan, as you mentioned, it starts with an illustrious son of David, then spouse of the Mother of God, then it goes into these virtues, these attributes that we see in St. Joseph, very much at the beginning, his role in the Holy Family. So from spouse of the Mother of God to chaste guardian of the Virgin, foster father of the Son of God, watchful defender of Christ and head of the Holy Family. And then it moves into those virtues. Joseph, most just, most chaste, most prudent, most valiant, most obedient, most faithful. Of all these attributes, Dan, which stand out most for you?
Well, the cool thing is like we just heard one this morning when the doctor was talking about the realm of the dead, okay? And I love arguing. It's because I like to argue. It gets me in trouble most of the time, but debating on the holiness of St. Joseph. And I've had some good knockdown dragouts about, well, how holy was he, you know? And I would say perfect in every way, like his bride. Mm. Okay. And that seems fitting to me. But St. John the Baptist, he's the one, right? And so St. John the Baptist, He is the voice crying out in the desert, and he's here. Let's say he's here to tell us, Joseph, the light of the patriarchs, he went to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He went to the dead before Christ did, right? He is like the real forerunner. He goes and he says, guys, I'm Joseph, father of Jesus, or supposed father of Jesus, and his time has come. In fact, on earth about 3 years, you know, he's going to open up these gates for us. So that's an amazing thing, that he is the father of all the fathers, the greatest of all the fathers. He's the father that images God the Father for God himself. It's inexhaustible. That's just one. He's also called the mirror of patience. I love that one, because no one is more patient than God, right? We see it in the prodigal son. The father's just waiting and waiting. Mm-hmm. God is the perfect lover, and he's the mirror of patience. He's the mirror of God himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, husband of Mary, of course, is where all the grace flows from. That's the favorite, and the most, I say the most important, but the idea, I mean, in the book, the poverty, they lived a life of poverty. Why? Because the great abandonment on the cross. Like they spent their life preparing for the most impoverished moment that mankind could ever know. And Joseph prepared Our Lady and Jesus for that moment, although he wouldn't be there for it. So much.
Let's go back to Mirror of Patience. We're with Dan and Jody Boyden in the cafe. Do you consider yourself a patient guy?
I'm getting better.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's hard to wait to get better.
Well, no, I mean, that's something, I mean, in my own life, I guess it comes with age. You know, it's something you learn, right?
Yeah, you give up. You start giving up on things and become more patient.
To Mass on time?
We get to Mass on time.
Okay.
Don't give up.
Don't go there. No, with, well, scripture passage this morning refers to him as a righteous man, right? So we know that he's pursuing God. That's what righteous means, right? He has his eyes on God. He's going towards him. It also, in the passages that we have in scripture on St. Joseph, there's always listening, then action. And I think that's where that patience comes in. Patience comes in for us is to hold off on acting until you hear the voice of God, right? I mean, he never made an action or made a move and then asked God to confirm it for him. And I mean, how often do we do that? You know, bless my actions, right, rather than speak to me, Lord, I'm listening, and then act.
Yeah, I think, and we focus a lot on, well, the angel, you know, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord more than likely had been speaking to Joseph all of his life for him to be able to get up and act. That's the way God communicated with this great saint. If I woke up and said, honey, I had a dream last night, and guess what we're going to do? She's going to be like, hold it. You know.
Right. The Lord's never spoken to you in that way.
Right. You might hear... You're an idiot, you know, whatever. So I would test that. We're called to test, right? Mm-hmm. We're called to test. Even scripturally, it says test. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, I had this prophetic dream. And I feel like I just recently had a prophetic dream, and it was pretty interesting. But we're called to test. I'd talk to a couple priests. I'd test all these things out. Where Joseph just gets up and goes because he knows that it's the voice of the Lord, because he's been so attentive all of his life,
right,
and he's sure of that. It's a sure thing. That always strikes me. It's not this like, oh, he was just perfectly obedient. Yes, he was, but he was in regular communication with God.
Yeah. No, you bring up such a good point, Dan. It's something that he had been attuned to way before we even hear of him in scripture. It must have been throughout his whole life. And you were just sharing about, you know, the holiness of Saint Joseph. And actually, I heard this talk about Saint Joseph that had struck me. And this idea that, you know, of course we know Mary was given the fullness of graces that she needed to be the mother of God. But why would not, God must have done the same thing for Saint Joseph as well, to give him all the graces he would have needed to be, to care for the Son of God. Right, to be that leader, that protector, and to hear about all the graces that we attribute to him in the litany, right? Most just, most chaste, most prudent. God gave him all of those to lead his family.
That's a good point, because there's a few different shifts happening here in the litany. You know, it starts out with his role in the Holy Family, then his personal virtues, but then how we pray to Saint Joseph as an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those ways that he helps all of us. So support in difficulties, comfort of the afflicted, hope of the sick, patron of exiles, patron of the afflicted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. I think this just makes me think of all the reasons we should have a devotion to Saint Joseph, right? Because God himself entrusted himself to Saint Joseph. And so why shouldn't we? And maybe Jody and Dan, you can share with us, once you stepped into that consecration, how did that transform not only your life, but your relationship together? Did you see a big change in Dan Jody when he started taking on this relationship with St. Joseph?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a great guy and everything, and he a lot of these things, like the glory of the domestic life, the guardian of the virgins, he's that just really hits me because of all the children we have, and we have seven daughters, and it's just and the pillar of the families. So yeah, how can I not say it's like an obsession, really? I mean,
it's true.
Yeah, books. I don't even know how many pictures he has in the barn. He wants to hang them all over the house, but I'm like, there, yeah. But you're a great role model for men, and I that change I've seen in our relationship, it's been awesome. I think
I don't want people to get the idea that because you can have an obsession with saints, and it's not a good thing, right? Because then you forget about the Lord. But with Our Lady and Joseph, it's all about God, and there's so many images, and this is where it's at. If I could like tell every man and help every man to understand who he is and what he's made for and his roles as father, like there's so many great images of Joseph just like staring at the heavens and Our Lady, and he's got Our Lady there, and Our Lady staring at the sun, and the sun is staring at Joseph, and that's properly ordered. It's like, no one could have been more grateful than Joseph for what God had given him. And it's like, so this love for Joseph helps propel me to be a good steward of what's been given to me. These souls that have been literal souls. We're talking like with a war, a battle raging in this world to devour them. And I'm the guy to like, that's like too much to handle. And it's like, this day, he's been made Lord of his household. God made Joseph Lord of his household and prince over his possessions. And I heard another version, and God has made him prince over his substance. Like the substance of God, Joseph is the Lord and prince over. And I, once my kids are baptized, like I've been made Lord over the substance of these children made in the image and likeness of God. What does that mean for a man? Any man, a priest, not necessarily a biological father. Joseph's this patron for all men just by the virtue of being a man. Shout out to Aaron Richards. You guys know Aaron.
Sure.
We love talking St. Joseph. We were talking one time, and he talks about St. Joseph being the vicar of the Holy Trinity, which is a like, what? Okay, the Pope is the vicar of Christ, but the Father says, you need to be me here on earth, right? So he's the vicar of the Father. The Son subjects himself to him. And the Holy Spirit, the spouse of the Virgin, says, you know, you need to be me here. The whole Trinity gives themselves to Joseph. That's just incredible. That's we could talk for days on.
Well, Dan and Jody Boyden here in the St. Gabriel Cafe. Well, and the church has named Joseph the protector of the church. Mm. So again, yeah, I mean, that's putting a lot under St. Joseph's patronage, protector of the bride of Christ.
Which is us.
The universal church. We laugh. He has the greatest patronage. Like he is the patron of, like Mary's not the patron of workers. We'll see on May 1st, maybe. She's not the patron of husbands, fathers. But he is the patron of mothers, pregnant women during pregnancy. He's universally the patronage of any prayer that could ever be summoned. And Mary's like, yes, that's my husband. You go to him for these things, right? Mm-hmm. And we laugh because the woman has enough to do. The man's got to like pick up the slack, right? Jody does everything. So it's so good.
Have you asked, so you have seven daughters. Mm-hmm. Have you gone to St. Joseph on their behalf for healthy relationships, for holy relationships?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
Yeah, constant prayers for chastity, yes, and purity. And they all pray. I mean, the ones that are praying regularly, they all have a great devotion to St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls is named Josephine.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
She's not necessarily my favorite, but...
Well, yeah, that's what she
Joe,
said this morning.
You can hear me, and I know you're smiling right now. She said this morning, she goes, Dad, I know there's a lot of girls, but I am Josephine, and I know I'm your favorite. You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. I said, Joe, yes.
How old is Josephine?
She's 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm, tugs on dad's heart, huh?
They all do.
Yeah, for sure.
Terror of demons. I suspected that might be one of your favorites also.
It is, and that's why I have these images. The image on the Terror of Demons picture is Joseph standing there with his hand up, like saying stop. And Joseph and Jesus is in his arms, and Jesus is just casually plummeting the spear into the head of Satan. And it's all Jesus is like calm and and he's got the staff that is also a spear with the lilies on the end of it. And Joseph is like, for all you demons, look at what my son is doing to your master. The rest of you stop right there. Mm. And I think that's so fitting to have in your home, for the protection of your home. Cause he is the protector of all these things, the children, the spouse, the domestic life. It's like, yeah. So it's just a fantastic, fantastic. I don't know if that's a good word, but it's beautiful and terrifying for the demons. Blessed Bartolo Longo says, the holy names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph are a blessing to angels and men and a terror to demons. Mm. And that's just their names, just to mention their names. So it's pretty awesome.
When we're fighting battles on so many fronts, right? I mean, culturally, to have a patron interceding for us and... sometimes even as I say interceding for us, it almost makes him too small. Mm. he is a warrior, and there's no way we can fight these battles on so many fronts without, of course, Joseph and our Lord engaged in battle. You know what I mean? It's when in our homes and our families, where the attacks just want to come in and to wreak havoc, just to have that image of Saint Joseph as protector, standing guard,
available. The gatekeeper. He's at the door.
Yeah.
Never sleeps. And Amanda, when you said earlier, like, maybe that dream and a sigh of relief when the Lord answers your prayer. But I imagine if he was hearing the Lord so many times in dreams, he might have also been like so attuned to the will of God. They'd be like, whoa, are you serious? all right. It's just like, it's just one after another perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Excuse me. And it's just, I mean, when I'm called to do something and it's little things like knowing what Jody needs from me. I don't care if it's just picking something up off the floor, taking the trash out, doing the dishes without just on my own free will. That should just be, it should be continual for me to just serve. And that should just be in my heart all the time, even though there's this thing that says sit and relax sometimes. It should be that tugging is just like, all right. And you get up and you do. And this would have been him. Because he'd probably go to Egypt. He might have been like, whoa. Now, he probably wasn't second guessing it in any way. But, 90 miles or whatever it was, he's like, okay, interesting. Could have told me in the morning after a good night's sleep, whatever.
Dan, what are some ways that Saint Joseph has revealed himself to you, just in your own walk with him? Maybe one that stands out to you.
It's kind of a long story, but a miracle. Okay. 4 minutes. Okay. Goodness. Just a quick miracle. Just a quick miracle. My daughter Bella and her husband Michael lived with us. They lived with us for a short time. I guess a little bit of a long time. Anyways, couldn't find a house. Having coffee with them one morning, and she's bummed. We'd been looking, and she was like, Dad, and I said, Bella, pregnant, right?
Yeah, she was pregnant.
And I said, why don't we change up the prayer? And this is when the market was crazy and everybody's outbidding people on houses. And here's the asking price, gets sold for however much more. It was kind of nuts. I said, why don't we change up the prayer? I was like, St. Joseph, here we go. And I sat there with she and Michael and we prayed a prayer that kind of sounded like, you're going to find us a house. It's not even going to be on the market. So there'll be no competition in buying this house. And when you do buy the house, you're going to have equity in the house because nobody was buying a house with any kind of equity. Yeah, and that's our prayer.
Very specific.
Very specific and swift. And one day I said, hey, Michael, what's up today? What's on the docket? And he's like, yeah, I got this thing and this customer taking care of her. She lives in North Carolina. She's got this house and whatever. I'm like, what street's it on? He tells me the street. And I'm like, that's a great neighborhood, kind of old people's neighborhood, brick ranches. I said, have you ever asked her about buying your house? 2 days later, they were like basically in contract.
Wow.
And the devil tried to get in there a little bit. And a rosary that I had ordered that had been back ordered from St. Joseph appeared during when we were praying the Angelus as a family. It got delivered on the cement floor. It all happened while they were walking through the house first showing. I mean, there could have been a lily springing up from the concrete. It was that apparent that St. Joseph had his hand in all of this. Even when this weird stuff happened with the devil, they went to Mass and they were frustrated by all the things that were working out and they came back from Mass and Michael's got a giant smile on his face. I'm like, and I went to Mass and I said, Lord, St. Joseph, whatever demon of greed is involved here, you need to just root it out. And I got home, Michael's smiling. He was like, yeah, we're in. We got it. Everything was done and complete. It's just so many. That's one great one. And the story could be a lot longer and not embellished. It's just like the details of it are awesome. So he is so present. He's so present in our life. We're so blessed to have him.
And I think he comes about at a time where, you know, it's time for the church to get to know him more. And so I hope all of us have that spark today to want to just dive deeper in our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Jody and Dan, thanks for being here in the cafe to honor St. Joseph. Nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, pick up a copy of the Litany today. You can find it all over the place. I know EWTN has it on their website, EWTN.com. Take some time to pray it today. We'd like to end the cafe this morning, Amanda, with the consecration prayer to St. Joseph.
Yeah.
So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O dearest St. Joseph, I consecrate myself to your honor and give myself to you, that you may always be my Father, my protector, and my guide in the way of salvation. Obtain for me a greater purity of heart and fervent love of the interior life. After your example, may I do all my actions for the greater glory of God, in union with the divine heart of Jesus and the immaculate heart of Mary. O blessed Saint Joseph, pray for me that I may share in the peace and joy of your holy death. Amen.
Amen. O God, who in your loving providence chose blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, thanks for being here in the cafe with us today. Coming up tomorrow, Monica Flynn and Kathy Yohani will be with us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Amen. God love you all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.